I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. We're going to listen now to some popular songs from Tunisia. We're not talking pop music. This is political rap, and it's having a coming out party in Tunisia.
Oh, check. Bienvenue في عصر الفتن, في عصر الانحطاط, في عصر المحن.
Rap provided a soundtrack for the Arab Spring that got its start in Tunisia. David Peisner is a contributing editor for Spin magazine. We spoke with him from the capital, Tunis, where he was researching an article on Tunisian political rap. He says these political rap tunes aren't new, but thanks to the revolution, they're getting a new life.
What the revolution has done is just brought all this stuff up from the underground. I mean, right now it's almost sort of fashionable to be writing raps about the revolution and about politics. But it's such an uncertain time right now in this country. You've got an interim government that has basically no mandate. People don't really know what's going to happen. And so the rap that is bubbling up now is either about what has already happened or about what people want to happen.
David, you could argue, I think, that the music played more than just an accompanying role to the protests that led to the ouster of President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. Wasn't it crucial to the revolution?
It really was. I mean, in the months and years preceding the revolution, there was nothing resembling a free press here. And there's that cliche about American rap being, I think it was Chuck D of Public Enemy who called it the CNN of Black America. But that was really going on here. It was a place where a lot of these tracks were just being passed around on Facebook. And it was a place where you could hear people complaining about the regime in a way that just simply wasn't possible on the streets or media.
رئيس البلاد رئيس البلاد هاني اليوم نحكي معاك باسمي واسم الشعب الكل اللي عايش في الاحلام 2011 مازال فما شكون يموت بالجوع حاب يخدم باش يعيش لكن صوته مش مسموع اهبط للشارع وشوف لعبت ولا تحوش شوف الحاكم في المتراك تاكا تاك ما على بالوش مدام ما فما حد باش يقول له كلمه لا حتى القانون اللي في الدستور نفخ وشرب ماء.
So since رئيس البلاد, this track is the one that started it all, what kind of post-revolutionary life does the song have now, and has it changed the life or singer El General?
It's definitely changed his life. I mean, before the revolution, he wasn't even a particularly well-known rapper, even in the underground here. And now, probably the only person who is a bigger icon of the revolution is Mohamed Bouazizi, who, as you know, lit himself on fire to start these uprisings. You know, he's a celebrity. He lives down in Sfax, which is, I guess, the second largest city in the country, and when I was down there with him and walking around the city with him, you know, people would come up to him in the streets and ask to take a picture with him more likely. But so it's really changed, you know, his life considerably.
Here's another track you dug up. It's called Besoin d'expression, Need to Express Oneself or Freedom of Expression. Let's take a listen to this.
Mesdames et messieurs, أهلا بيكم في تونسنا الخضراء لهنا فما شكون يتعشى مليون زادة فما شكون يبات ياكل في الفضلة أهلا بيك في بلاد الأمن والأمان بلاد السلام والديمقراطية أهلا بيك في مجتمع مقسوم في اثنين تبقى فقيرة تبقى غنية.
So tell us more about this rapper, Lakai.
He was an artist who was recording things for probably a few years before the revolution and always very political. But before the revolution, you know, he couldn't openly perform these songs.
Well, here's another track. This song is called Madame El, and it's about the wife, the former first lady of Tunisia, of President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. A rapper named DJ Costa released this. Tell us about that first lady, David, and what kind of ire she inspired in the Tunisian people, especially this one rapper, DJ Costa.
She, and in fact her whole family, are notorious in Tunisia for their corruption. She ran essentially a mafia-like racket here. Her family and got kickbacks on sort of every big business deal. The family was involved in really every sector of Tunisian business. There was just sort of rampant corruption. So that's essentially what the song is dealing with.
And finally, we have to recognize, I guess, the losers in the musical revolution in Tunisia. Here's a rapper named Balti.
Mama, sorry if I made you very mad, mama. Let me bring a kiss on your head, mama. I've been acting up in the hood, mama. You know deep inside that I'm good, mama. You can see through me like a glass. Let me make it up for the best.
And David Peisner, when all these other rappers are benefiting from the revolution, it seems, Balti's stock has fallen. Why is that?
Well, Balti was seen more than any other rapper as being essentially part and parcel of the old regime. He was by far and away the most famous rapper in Tunisia before the revolution. By any real account, it had made him rich. He was wealthy. And there were lots of pictures in the media of him sort of cavorting with the RCD, Ben Ali's party, and with the First Family. And so he was seen as essentially corrupted, the same as the old regime. But it really remains to be seen as to whether this is a temporary hiccup in his career or it's the death knell of his career, and he'll never recover from it. Balti himself makes the case that, you know, he pioneered rap in this country, and he made a space for all these more revolutionary rappers to come in and do their thing after him. Right now, that argument isn't really playing very well in the rap community here, but it's not completely invalid.
In the context of the revolution in Tunisia, you'd think many people would listen to this music. I mean, does the rap demographic now, post-revolution in Tunisia, extend beyond 35-year-olds?
I don't know that it extends too deeply beyond 35-year-olds or thereabouts, but the way people view rap has changed significantly since the revolution, and that goes regardless of age. I mean, before the revolution, the view of rap was basically that, you know, it was something done by thugs and gangsters, and it had no social value. After seeing the role that it played in the revolution, the older generation has come to respect it. And so what that's done is it's put these rappers in positions of influence. Even though the real hardcore rap fans are still younger, you have to remember that the people who were really the spark behind the revolution itself were all younger. These were, you know, people who were savvy with Facebook and Twitter. And so the people who are important in this revolution are the same demographic as the people who are rap fans.
David Peisner, Spin Magazine contributing editor, joining us from Tunis. Thank you for this little lesson in Tunisian political rap. Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. من منطلق هذا لانجلتير بدأت تتحرك ولعبت اللعبة مع كامل اتاتورك مصطفى كمال كان من اكبر اعداء الدين كان قائد الجيش العثماني في فلسطين.
Tunisian rapper Psycho M takes us out today. We're online all the time at theworld.org. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Thanks for listening.